and welcome to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Ada, and it is my pleasure to read God's Word with you. Today is Saturday, September 6th, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful Saturday and that your weekend is off to a great start. Today, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, and our first text is going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And we are going to read verses 12 through 23 together. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a wilderness, who overthrew its cities and would not let his captives go home? All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit. Like a corpse trampled underfoot, you will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. Let the offspring of the wicked never be mentioned again. Prepare a place to slaughter his children for the sins of their ancestors. They are not to rise to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will wipe out Babylon's name and survivors, her offspring and descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn her into a place for owls and into swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. Our next passage for today is coming from the book of Acts, and we are in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Our last passage for today is going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 56, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Thank you so much for reading the Word of God with me today. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I want to take us back to the book of Isaiah and think just a little bit more about that passage that we read. I think it's so interesting at the beginning in verse 12, how it talks about the morning star, son of the dawn. And we know that from the context that we've been reading that this is talking about the king of Babylon. But in another more distant way, but maybe in a way that feels more real to us as we hear this today, it's also talking about Satan. And this passage in Isaiah 14 is describing Satan as someone who desires to be like the Most High, to have equality with God. And this goes all the way back to the fall, to the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and their desire to be like God, having the knowledge of good and evil. What's so ironic is that Satan, in desiring to be like God, is actually doing the thing that is most unlike God, because we read in Philippians 2:6 about Jesus Christ, who although was equal with the Father and in very nature God himself, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So this is challenging me today to think about if I am seeking to be close to Christ, acknowledging his power and his might, or am I trying to create a merit independent of him? Am I seeking equality with God, or am I resting in him as my creator and my sustainer? I also think that this passage is interesting because we see here what happens to the king of Babylon and ultimately to Satan, to all those who rebel against the Lord and try to grasp for themselves the glory that belongs to God alone. What happens to them is that they will be thrown down, ruined, swept with the broom of destruction, as this passage says. And after the king of Babylon falls, after Satan falls, his weaknesses will be exposed. And I love how it describes that those who feared him will be astonished that they ever believed that he had power over them. It says, "Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble?" in verse 16. And I think of how as Christians, even though there are crazy things going on in our world, and we have very real fears in this world, that we don't need to fear the things of this world, but we can take comfort in the power of our God, who is greater than anything that we could be facing. And this also, I think, connects to what we were reading in Psalm chapter 56, verses 3 and 4. I love that David here starts with, "When I am afraid." Because for so many of us, fear is not just a question of if it will happen, but when. Faith doesn't create an absence of fear. It doesn't remove fear from our lives, but in our fear, we have something reliable to fall back on. We have someone, we have the Lord Almighty, and when we are afraid, we can return to God's word. We can trust in his character and his promises, those things that are unchanging despite our changing circumstances. And I love that David says in verse 4, faith gives us this audacity to say, "What can mere mortals do to me?" Because as Christians, we know that the world can't take away what we have through Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you with that thought today. And I wanted to leave us by reading a liturgy. It's from a series called Liturgies of Hope from the Church of the City, New York. And this liturgy is entitled, "A Liturgy for Those Battling Fear." "Do not be afraid, your angels proclaim to those shaking shepherds, and you whisper the same, generation after generation, to us. But disease ravages our world. Heartbreak turns commonplace, and nameless grief settles deep in our bones. Is it any wonder we tremble so easily? You remember that we are made of dust and breath, and how our unnaturally natural tendency is to cower in the dark places of our minds, pointing fingers at one another, forgetting the shadow of safety you offer under your wings, wide enough to hold us all. Our groaning is not hidden from you, O Holy Father. Do not ignore our weeping cries and quaking knees and besieged hearts. For you alone hold power to pull us from the miry pit, the one from which fear has stolen our ladder. How long, O God? When will we see your goodness in the land of the living? Remind us, Jesus, that you lay sleeping in the boat in the middle of the storm at sea. You are neither surprised nor distressed by the mounting chaos. You are not a God who panics. O Christ, who defeated the sting of death upon the cross, be near and calm the sea within us with one word, so that we may then comfort others with the same comfort you give to us. Out of your loving kindness, you do not condemn our fear, but rather call us into something far more magnificent. Wild, glorious trust in the one who holds the whole world together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you are the one who holds all things together, God. That you hold us in the midst of whatever trials we are in, whatever anxieties or fears we may be battling with, God, that you are greater than them all. Lord, I thank you that your character and your love for us and the promises that you have made to us do not change, regardless of what our circumstances are, God, that you are good, that you are powerful, that you are mighty, that you are just, and that you hold us in the palm of your hand. Lord, I pray for those of us who are walking through difficult circumstances, who are facing fear, maybe fear of the unknown, God. I pray that you would remind us of who you are and that your love for us is greater than anything that we might be facing. Lord, thank you that we get to come together and read your word, God, and thank you for speaking to us today. I pray that we would not forget who you are and the promises that you have made. In your name I pray, amen.